turn in our Bibles now. If you can take your Bible, I hope you've got your Bible there. If you can take your Bible and turn to Jonah. I almost said John, but if you can turn to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. I hope the children are listening today as well. They love the story of Jonah. I always love the story of Jonah. But we're gonna have a look at this book today in a little bit of depth. We're going to go through a fair few scriptures as well. So make sure you follow along in your Bibles. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. It says this, and have you got your Bibles there? If you've got your Bible, say amen. If you haven't got your Pages Bible, get your iPhone Bible out. Make sure you've got it. If you haven't got a Bible, I don't know what we're going to do with you. You're just going to have to look at the screen and have a second-rate scripture. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish." Let me just deal with this right now. I know a lot of people, we say Jonah and the whale. It wasn't Jonah and the whale. It was Jonah and the great fish. That doesn't mean that it wasn't Jonah and the whale, but we can't be certain that it was a whale. All we know is that it was a great fish. But we also know that there is evidence that whales have swallowed people. There is a case where people have been swallowed by whales. So maybe we are correct in saying it was Jonah and the whale, but we cannot be sure. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." That's all I'm going to read right now, because I want to bring to you this title right now. The simple thought: a cry from the deep. A cry from the deep. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. We declare today our gratitude, oh God, for all that you've done in our lives. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. Speak to us through your word today. We need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that this word would go to a hungry heart. Somebody, oh God, Lord, who needs to hear this word is tuned in today. And oh God, that you would anoint their ears to hear, anoint my voice and my mouth as I speak your word today. Let somebody come to salvation, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. A cry from the deep. One of the characteristics about God is that he is omnipresent. Now, there's a few words we use that maybe some people don't always understand, but one of the characteristics about God is that he is omnipresent. That simply means that God is everywhere. He is not restricted to time and space. He's not restricted to one place at a time. He is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere present, or simply put, it means that God is everywhere. And so that means that God is with you today in your house. As you have worshiped him, God is with you. God is near you today. I want to remind somebody, I don't know what you are facing right now, but there is a God, and he is omnipresent. He is with you today. There is another characteristic about God, and that is the fact that he is omniscient. I know that's a little bit of a hard word to say, and for those that don't know me, know that I stumble over my words at the best of times. But God is omniscient. That means that he is all-knowing. Not only is he everywhere, but he knows everything. Not only is he everywhere present, but he is ever knowing. He is all knowing. And so I want to remind you today that wherever you are today, God is with you and God knows. Whatever you're going through, the omnipresent, the omniscient, the all knowing God knows exactly what is going on in your life today. And that's my testimony. That is my testimony. I know I grew up in church my whole life, and I thank God for that. I'm grateful for that. But my testimony is that this omnipresent, this omniscient, this all-knowing God, let me tell you, he is everywhere. He is all-knowing. But my testimony is that he is not a do-nothing God. He is not a do-nothing God. Even when I can't see Him, He's working. Even when I can't feel Him, He's moving. He is not a do-nothing God. And let me tell you, you can't tune into this service today and expect God to do nothing in your life. He is going to speak to you today. Amen. And so in our text today, there are three characters. Three characters in our text today. Often we focus on Jonah and the big fish, or Jonah and the whale. But there is a third character that many people miss out on, and that is God. Because God is a big part of the story of Jonah and the fish. In fact, before it was Jonah and the big fish, it was God and the big fish. Jonah was a prophet. He was one of the prophets, and he heard from God. He heard God spoke to him. It was not an impression in his heart, but God spoke to him. And God told Jonah, he said, "Arise, get up, and go to Nineveh." And so what did Jonah do? What did the prophet Jonah do? He was told to go and go to Nineveh, but he refused. In verse 2 it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." God is telling Jonah to carry a message of judgment to Nineveh. "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But what did Jonah do? It says in verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down." He went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh, and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and then he went down. I hope you can see the trend here. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish. Why? Because he was going on a holiday to Tarshish? No. The Bible says that he was going to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was in rebellion. He was a rebel. He was a man at this time. Maybe he wasn't always a rebel, but he was a man at this time who did not like to do what God had told him to do. And so I wonder if we could just be honest right now and just ask ourselves, has God ever told me to do something and I didn't like it? Has God ever told me to do something and I replied by saying no? You see, sometimes God asks us to do something, and we're thinking in our mind, are you serious, God? You really want me to do this? Are you sure that and we're saying to ourselves, am I sure that I'm hearing God? Because we're trying to find a loophole. Maybe I'm hearing things. Jonah said no. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Jonah said no. He got into a ship, and he went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. He wasn't altogether bad, though. I mean, we still must remember that Jonah was a prophet. He was a man of God, so we just can't say that he was just a bad man. And I begin to think about that. The prophet Jonah says no to God. Maybe there's a reason why. I mean, there's never a good reason to disobey God, but maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's something in his thinking which caused him to not want to go to Nineveh. And there is a reason. If you read Nahum, if you can find it, it's one of the books of the Bible. If you read Nahum, it's a story, it's an account of God's judgment against Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh, they were violent. They showed no mercy to their enemies. They were known for their violence. They were known for their lack of mercy. History tells us that those in Nineveh would kill people. They would put the body of those dead people on show to show the world just how bloodthirsty they are. Okay, so now we know a little bit about the people of Nineveh. Now we might begin to understand a little bit about why Jonah was so hesitant to go to Nineveh. You see, Jonah is thinking, you know what? They're going to kill me. I heard about these people. They put bodies on display. They're bloodthirsty. They're angry. They're violent. And he's thinking, no, God, I can't do it. Those people are scary. God tells Jonah, he said, go and judge them. And Jonah's thinking to himself, well, God, why don't you go judge them? I don't want to have to do your dirty work at this time. I don't want to have to go and judge them. God, you're more than able to go and judge them yourself. And so, yes, he was scared. He was scared of the people of Nineveh. But I also know from the scripture, if you go to Jonah chapter 4, there was something interesting about the fear that Jonah had. You know, the Bible tells us that Jonah was actually scared that they might get saved. Now, I know that might be hard to comprehend, that a prophet, a man of God, might be scared that somebody would get saved. You see, Jonah knew, he said, if I go and preach to them, your mercy is going to reach out to them, and they might get saved. And then, God, if they get saved, then you won't judge them. Now, I hope that nobody has ever been like that. I hope that you've never thought, I hope they don't get saved so I don't have to deal with them in heaven. Jonah chapter 4 verse 2, it says this, look at this. He tells God why he fled to Tarshish. He says, therefore, I fled unto Tarshish. I didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because I knew that you are a gracious God and you're merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of evil. I believe this is showing us that Jonah understood that if I go and preach to them, you might save those nasty people. And it's true. God can save anybody. And so God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah took off. He took off, not just in a different direction. If you look at the maps, he took off in the opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. He went to the western reaches of the known world. Let me tell you, God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And he doesn't really think that he can run from God. Let me tell you, it is a foolish thing to think that you can run from God and for God not to know where you are. It's a foolish thing to think that God doesn't know where you are and what you're going through, because he is the omnipresent. He's the omniscient God. And so Jonah is running from God's expectations. Jonah is running from what God wants him to do. Look at how committed Jonah is to running away. From where Jonah was, it was 550 miles to get to Nineveh. 550 miles to Nineveh. But instead, he goes to Tarshish, 2,500 miles in the other direction. He's over 3,000 miles out of the will of God. Maybe today, that's exactly how you feel. Maybe today, as you sit in your home, as you watch this, maybe in your car, maybe as you watch it alone or with family and friends, maybe you are one of the people today that say, you know what? I feel so far away from God. Maybe you'll be honest enough to say it in your heart that yes, you have run in the opposite direction to the will of God from your life. But I want to tell you, you can't run from God. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. And the psalmist said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. You are there, the psalmist said. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8 tells us, doesn't matter if you make your bed in heaven or you make your bed in hell, God is going to be there. He is the stalker, as I preached before. He's the stalker. He loves you. It is a love that will not let go. The lover has become a stalker. God will pursue you. God will go wherever you go. He is seeking you, and he wants to find you, because he did not want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. And so Jonah fled from God. You see, when you walk away from the call of God, I want to tell you, and I've seen it time and time again with my own eyes, in my own experience, I know that you can testify today as you watch this today, you can also testify of this, that when you walk away, when you run away from the call of God, I want to tell you that I've seen it, it's always a downward journey. And so Jonah rose up to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare. He paid the money. And the Bible says that he went down. I know it's just language. I know it's just symbolic, that word down. But it tells us of the truth of what happens when we run away from the will of God. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish. And it says it again. Why? Because he's running away from the presence of God. Whenever you run from God, it's always going to be a down direction. Whenever you're going away from God, yes, sometimes when you first begin to turn your back on God, you think that you're going up when you're really going down. It's only a matter of time. It may not be immediately evident that the walk that you've taken and the choice that you've taken is in the downward direction. For a while it may look like you're okay, but time after time, it is my experience that when you turn your back on God, when you walk away from the will of God, it's always a downward journey. You are gonna go down. And maybe you say, well, I'm okay. Let me tell you, I know the end of the path. I've seen it time and time again. A walk away from God is always a downward journey. Yes, you can enjoy the pleasures of the world for a season, but it's not going to last. But there is an abundant life in Christ Jesus. He went down. He went down. I want you to also notice that he paid the fare. When you run from God, when you step out from under the blessing of God, when you step out from the call of God, when you run from God, you get to pick up the tab. You get to pay the price. You see, there's an old saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. When you're in the will of God, he will provide. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. And when you run from God, you get to pay the fare. You see, when I used to work in the government or in companies, in Deloitte's, when I worked there in different places, when the company sends you on a trip, the company pays. But when you're outside of the will of God, when, like with a company, when I go on a holiday and the, you know, it's got nothing to do with the company's not going to pay for my trip. When your company sends you on a trip, they pay. But when you go on your own accord, you pay. When you're in God's will, he'll take care of you. But when you step out of God's will, you get to pay the fare. Think about it for a second about Moses' mother, Jochebed. She puts Moses in the basket and puts him on the Nile River. And he floats down the river. And as he's floating down, there is Pharaoh's daughter. She finds Moses laying in the basket. And she's down there and she picks up little Mo. And she says, you know what? I need a nursemaid. I need someone to nurse him. And so Miriam, who was in the will of God, by the way, Moses' sister, was there watching. And she goes, she says, oh, I know somebody. I know somebody that can nurse little Moses. And so she goes back, and who does she get? She gets Jochebed, Moses' mother. Jochebed applies for the job and she gets it. And you know what? She's in the will of God. And the Bible says she got paid to raise her own son. Why? Because she's in the will of God. Exodus 2 verse 9 says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. I want to tell you that if you're in God's will, God will take care of you. But when you run away from God, it's going to cost you. And Jonah went down into the ship. Jonah went down into the sea. And he prayed to the Lord. It was a cry from the deep. He prayed to the Lord. He even said in Jonah chapter 2 verse 6, he said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. You see, if you were to take away all the water on earth, all you would see is that there are mountains and there are valleys. And that the land that forms continents is actually the tops of mountains. And that the ocean fills all of those valleys. Jonah says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. I went down to the deepest part of the ocean. And he cried out to God from the deepest part. It was a cry from the deep. I want to tell you, it is a frightening thing to choose to disobey God. God was not happy with Jonah. And God has many ways that he can try to get our attention. Jonah said, I'm running. And God says, okay. He goes, well, Jonah, you run. I'll send a storm. And so these sailors, they were professionals. They had obviously taken that ferry route to Tarshish so many times, and they were professionals, and the Bible tells us that even the professional sailors were scared. If they were afraid, it tells me that this was no ordinary storm. Jonah says, I'm going to run. God says, okay, let's play chess. I'll make my move, and I'm going to send a storm. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That when God loves us, and because God loves us, he will chasten us. And so if you claim to be a Christian, if you are in rebellion and God isn't coming after you, we must ask ourselves, then whose child am I? Whose child am I? Because the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And sometimes you might be away from God and God sends a storm. God can send crisis. He can send trouble. Why? Just like you do with your children. When you love them, you chasten them. I remember my dad used to take, back in the old days when nobody thought anything of this, he used to take the stick and give me a smack, and he would say, Jonathan, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And it really never made sense why my dad said that. I really just thought he was blowing smoke. Didn't make any sense to me. How could this hurt you more than it hurts me? But now I'm a father, I know that it does. It hurts the father to have to discipline, and it hurts God to have to chasten us. But he chastens us. Why? Because he loves us. And one of the things I love about God is that even when you try to rebel against him, he will not leave you alone. If you are rebelling and refusing to do the will of God, if you're going out of your way like Jonah to run from God because you don't like it, let me tell you, you can expect bad weather. Jonah chapter 1 verse 5 says this, then the mariners were afraid. The people on the ship, the professional sailors were afraid. And they cried, every man to his own God. They were God-fearing people, maybe not the one true living God, but they began to cry out to their own gods. They were religious. And they cast forth the wares. They began to throw the wares. They began to throw the cargo overboard to lighten up the ship. And where was Jonah? It says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah ran from God. Jonah denied God. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah rebelled against God. And what is he doing? He's sleeping. He found a place to sleep. We see now that Jonah's sin begins to impact on those that were around him. And the storm causes someone. They say to Jonah, Jonah, wake up. Oh, sleeper, get up and wake up. The sailors were in trouble. Why? Because there was a rebel on board. Now Jonah's sin is beginning to affect those who are around him. And you read many times in the Bible, and I've seen in my experience over times as a pastor and as a Christian, that often people will find themselves in trouble. Why? Because they've allowed a rebel on board. And there he is sleeping in the storm. He is so far out of the will of God that he's sleeping through the storm that was designed to discipline him. I want to tell you, that is not normal. It's not normal to sleep through a storm. He doesn't want to deal with God, and Jonah just wants to do his own thing. He says, God, I don't want to hear you. And he's just sleeping there. In verse 6 it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou? In today's language, it would say, what on earth are you doing, Jonah? Oh, sleeper. He calls him a name. He goes, get up, call upon thy God. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Jonah, why don't you call upon God? These sailors were decent, God-fearing people. They all cried out to their own God. While Jonah was the only one that knew the one true living God, what's he doing? He's not crying out to God, he's just sleeping. And so the captain finally wakes him up and tells him to pray to his God. He says, oh sleeper, how on earth can you sleep at a time like this? We think, the sailor says, or the captain says, we think, mate, we think, Mr. Sleeper, we think, Jonah, we think that somebody has angered God, and all eyes are looking at you, sleeper. Jonah is oblivious to the effects that his sin is having on the others. And that's common among people today. Just talk to any drunk. They'll tell you, any alcoholic, any drug addict, they'll say, well, what I'm doing is not hurting anybody else. So they'll say, leave me alone. What I want to do, I can do. I'm not hurting anybody. Leave me alone. But that's not true. I want to remind you that your sin does affect other people. And so Jonah is the preacher and he's sleeping. The captain is the sinner. And what's he doing? He's waking up the preacher. If you ever get to the point where you're the one that knows God and those people that are around you that don't know the one true living God, they're trying to wake you up. They're saying, why don't you pray? The sinner tells the preacher, come on, man, you got to pray. Jonah 1 verse 7, and they said unto him, and they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. I want you to notice here that they recognized that this was a spiritual problem. They said, why has this evil come upon us? So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto Jonah, they said, tell us, we pray thee. Tell us, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? What do you do for a job? And where do you come from? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Jonah owns up. He lifts his hand. He says, well, it's me. I'm sorry. I brought this evil upon you. God told me to go to Nineveh, and instead I'm on my way to Tarshish. I'm in rebellion. Look, listen to what he says. In verse 9, he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Now he gets all preachy and all spiritual. He says, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God which made the sea and the dry land. He gets all spiritual. And as he says that, he says, I fear the Lord and the God of heaven which made the sea. And they go, hang on, Jonah. Your God made the sea? The sea that's trying to kill us? And Jonah tells him, yes, I'm rebelling from God. And God is trying to track me down. God has sent a storm into my life. They say to him, well, Jonah, why are you trying to mess all of us up just because you want to be a fool? You're affecting all of us because of your foolishness. He says, this is my life. I want to do what I want. It's too big a task. It's too hard. Why does God want me to go to Nineveh? They're too dangerous. It's too big a ask of God. And so what does Jonah do? What does he do? Well, he's so far out of the will of God that he would rather commit suicide than do what God wants. He says, throw me into the sea. Throw me overboard. Verse 13 tells us they didn't want to murder him. They didn't want to throw him overboard. So what did they do? Verse 13 says everybody else on the boat begins to try the hardest they can to row Jonah to shore. But what happens? The storm gets worse. They're trying to help him. The harder they work to help him, God worked harder to keep him in the storm. Let me tell you, be careful who you allow on your boat. Be careful who you allow into your inner circle, into your life. And verse 14 says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took Jonah. And what did they do? They threw him into the sea. And the moment he hit the water, splash, the sea ceased, the Bible says, from her raging. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Look at this. They turned to the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D. They turned to Jehovah. They turned to the God of Jonah. He probably wanted them to accept him. He probably wanted them to understand him. They wouldn't, so they threw him overboard. And in spite of Jonah's rebelliousness, in spite that he was far from God, in spite that he was living in rebellion, God used him to help these sailors. And these outsiders, these ones who didn't know the one true living God, they have an encounter with God. And God responds graciously to these sailors. And so God sends a storm. I want you to notice that God sent the storm. Why did he send the storm? He sent the storm to get Jonah out of the boat. Why did he want to get Jonah out of the boat? Because that boat was leading him in the opposite direction. That boat was leading him in a direction that was contrary to God. I wonder what would have happened if Jonah didn't end up owning up to what he was doing, owning up to his rebellion. I wonder what would have happened if he didn't come out with the truth, if he didn't repent and say, you know what, it's me. I am the one that's bringing all this trouble. It's important to remember that these actions by God, they were not intended as a punishment of Jonah. They were intended as a correction. Jonah was heading in the wrong direction, both physically. He was heading in the wrong direction spiritually. And so God intervened with a storm to turn him around. In a day like this, in an age like this, where people believe that you can have a relationship with God on your own terms, I want to tell you that is a lie from the devil. People today think that they can live however they want to live, that they can go wherever they want to go, that they can treat people however they want to treat people, that they can act in any way they want to act, if they can disobey the word of God. I want to tell you, don't mistake God's mercy for God's weakness. God may allow you to rebel. God may allow you to walk away from him, and you might think, you know what, nothing bad's happened to me yet, and I'm doing what I want. I want to tell you, God's mercy may not always be there. Don't mistake God's mercy for God's weakness. And so God shows mercy. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, but God will not always chide. He will not always be merciful. He will rebuke and punish. He will not always keep his anger forever. The judgment of God will eventually come. And so the storm came against Jonah and those that were in a boat. Why? Because God was judging him? No, God was correcting him. He was running from God. And so God sent the storm. Now look at this. We read in our text, the Lord prepared a great fish. Not the devil. The Lord prepared a great fish. Sometimes we are experiencing what God has allowed in our life. And I do believe that this coronavirus, this COVID-19 that is sweeping the whole globe and has brought so much terror to every nation and economy and to healthcare and things like that. I don't believe that God sent the coronavirus, but I believe God allowed it to happen. Because why? Because God is in control. If he wanted, he could stop it, but God has allowed it. And sometimes the things that we are experiencing, the circumstances that God allows in our life, I want to tell you that God is wanting to get our attention. And I believe at this time, this coronavirus that God has allowed to come on this earth, I want to tell you, God is trying to get our attention. And so I'm not saying that everything bad that happens is God trying to get your attention. Sometimes bad things happen because you made a silly choice. I'm saying some things, they may be attacks of the devil. They may be results of mistakes that we've made. Not everything bad that happens is the devil. Sometimes God will allow circumstances to come into your life to get your attention. Why? Because when you're in control, you think you don't need God. God is saying, I called you. You know me. Come on, Jonah. We got a connection. We understand one another. You know what it is to have the anointing of God on your life, and all you want to do is run. You're running from me. And so God matches every one of Jonah's moves with a counter move of correction. Jonah does this, God corrects. Jonah does this, God corrects. You see, what do you do when you are followed by the circumstances of God? When you're trying to rebel? When God sends a storm? When God sends a fish? Jonah was out of the will of God. Listen, but the fish was in the will of God. What do you do when you find yourself in a storm and swallowed by a fish? The Bible says in Jonah 2 verse 1, then Jonah prayed. Somebody say finally, finally, finally. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. It was a cry from the deep. He prayed unto the Lord his God. Where? When he was on the dry land? No, he cried out to God in the belly of the fish. He cried out to God in the middle of his worst circumstance. He prayed and he cried to God from the deep. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. Listen to how he describes the belly of the fish. He says, I cried out of the belly of hell. and you heard my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep. He realized it wasn't the men that cast him into the deep. He says, God, you're the one that caused this to happen. You have cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the season, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again. That's a word for somebody. I find myself in a terrible circumstance. I find myself rebelling from God. But I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to thy soul. The depth closed me around about. I feel the pressure in the bottom of this ocean. The weeds were wrapped around my head. He said, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was before me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. My God. In verse 7 it says, when my soul fainted within me, when I reached the most terrible situation, when I felt out of control, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I thank God that sometimes He will allow circumstances into our life to get our eyes back on Him. He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up to thee. You heard my prayer in thine holy temple. It was a prayer of repentance. And wherever you are today, maybe you've turned your back on God. I want to tell you, it's time to turn back to God. It's time to cry out to God from the deep. It's time to repent of your sins. He says, God trapped me. God trapped me. God sent the storm. God sent the fish. Why? So I would call on Him again. It was at this point for Jonah that things stopped going down. See, even when you're in a dire circumstance, today I want to encourage somebody, even at your lowest point, you might be like Jonah at the deepest, lowest point of your life. I want to tell you, you've always got an opportunity to pray unto the Lord. It's not too late. Today is the day of salvation. Take your opportunity today. Don't wait for your circumstance to change. Don't wait to come out of the belly of the fish. But why don't you cry out to God? Where? From the deep. And I don't know your circumstances. Sometimes people say to me, they say, Pastor, I can hear what you're saying, but just let me straighten my stuff out first. Let me tell you, no, that's not what you do. You don't straighten your stuff out and then call on God. You know, Jonah didn't wait to get out of the belly before he called on God. We don't wait to straighten up our life. Let me tell you, if you're trying to straighten up your life, you'll never find that place of perfection where then you can finally say, well, now I'm perfect. Now I can cry out to God. I always say this at church all the time. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Why don't you cry out to Him from the deep? And so the same God who prepared the fish, the same God who sent the storm, that God will hear you. That God will hear you cry when you cry out to Him from the deep. And so don't sit there any longer accepting the circumstances that have developed in your life. I want to encourage somebody today, cry out to God. Don't defend and justify yourself before God. You've got lots of excuses, but let me tell you, stop defending and justifying yourself and just humble yourself before God today. Don't blame somebody else. Stop looking for someone else to blame. Let me tell you, it's time just to cry out from the deep to God today. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 10, Jonah cries out to God, and look at this, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah. He spewed up Jonah. Jonah made that fish sick. He spewed up Jonah on the dry land. The Lord spoke to the fish. As I was looking at this scripture, I thought, well, at least the fish was obedient to God. Jonah was on his way to judgment and wrath, but his repentance, his humility, and the fact that he cried out to God in the belly of that fish, it is what saved him. He calls out to God from the deep. You know, Jonah's not looking too good right now. He gets spewed up. He's covered in whale spew. He's covered in all sorts of stuff. Some people believe that being in the fish's belly, that it would have caused his skin to bleach. He got vomited up on dry land. Now, stop. He got vomited up on dry land. Now, last I checked, they were in the middle of the ocean. They were in the middle of the sea. And what happens? Jonah gets vomited up on dry land. So while Jonah was praying, while Jonah was in the belly of that fish, what was the fish doing? The fish was carrying Jonah somewhere. The fish was the judgment of God on Jonah's life. And that fish is carrying Jonah from the middle of the ocean back to the dry land. The judgment of God is carrying him somewhere. The dry land is in Nineveh, by the way. God doesn't say, well, I'm just going to force you to do what I've told you to do. He doesn't tell the fish, go to Nineveh, spew him up on the beach at Nineveh. No. The dry land is at Joppa. Joppa was the place where he got on the boat. What was that great fish doing? You see, he took him back to where it all started. He took him back to Joppa, the place where he got on the boat. He took him back to the place where he paid the fare. The fish is taking Jonah back to the point of his disobedience. Let me ask you today, which way are you going today? Have you reconsidered your actions? Have you reconsidered that God wants to give you a second chance? That God is using this preacher today? Maybe you think a crazy preacher, but God is using this preacher today to give you a second chance. He's still, and here he is. He got spewed back to Joppa. Here, Jonah, have another go. The good news is, let me tell you, God will repeat himself. God will repeat himself. He will give you a second chance. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, oh, this blessed me. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And what would the word of God say? He says it again. God repeats himself. Arise, go unto Nineveh. I'm giving you another chance to be obedient to my word, Jonah. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and go and preach again. He was still a man of God. He was still a preacher. The call of God was still on his life. Even though he made a mistake, the call of God was still on his life. He gets a second chance. I want to tell you, somebody out there, the call of God has been on your life. God has used you in a mighty way. And right now, you're in rebellion and you're far from God. I want to tell you, God wants to take you back to that place where it all began. He wants to call you again. See, God's word the second time didn't change from the first time. God didn't change his word to suit Jonah's situation. God didn't try to find a place of mediation make a deal with Jonah to satisfy his rebellion. No, Jonah had to change his life to satisfy God. Listen, we're not here to negotiate with God. If you want to know the blessings, if you want to know fulfillment, you got to do it God's way. Maybe you've ended up in circumstances that you cannot control, circumstances you cannot contain. I want to tell you the only way out is to humble yourself before God and to cry out to Him from the deep. Jonah was on his way into an abyss of judgment. But when he humbled himself, what happened? When he humbled himself, the process was reversed. See, somebody today needs to let their arrogance go. Somebody today needs to let their ego go. Some of us need to stop thinking that we're better than God and say, God, I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to humble myself. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, the Lord gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You see, that whale could have been one of two things. Either the judgment of God or it was the mercy of God. You see, that whale was the judgment of God or was the mercy of God? And Jonah was the one who had to make the decision. You see, today, repentance is giving God the opportunity to reverse his judgment. Repentance is giving God the opportunity to be merciful to us. If you're in rebellion today, I want to tell you, you have an opportunity to repent of your sin today. That's what David did in Psalm 51. He said, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. I want to remind somebody today that you're not too far gone. Jesus is calling you today. Yes, you may feel like you're under pressure. You may feel like you're deep in the ocean. You may find that you're out of your depth and you're in the deep places. I want to tell you that God is using this preacher today and God is calling you today. If the musicians could come now. I want you to understand that with God, nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. You begin to understand that with God, that even your mess up is a setup. That God can use your circumstances. Even when you thought you blew it, God was making a way. Even your setback has become a setup. God wants to use you. God can send situations into your life to turn you back and get you on the right direction. See, you might find you're trying to fix a situation that's not changing, but God may be using that situation. God may be using that situation that you're trying to fix. God may be using that situation, what? To fix you. And so I want to ask you today, why don't you just let the Lord minister to you today? You see, we often think that because of the way the story works out, that God had some sort of masterful idea. We think that because the way the account of Jonah worked out, that God had this masterful plan where he would take him to the water. Hey, God's thinking, you know, I'll cause him to be overthrown and thrown into the water. And God's thinking, you know what, I'll bring a whale along. Yes, God can work through anything. But I want to tell you that what turned the whole thing around was the fact that Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed. If Jonah had not prayed the prayer that he prayed, if Jonah had not cried out from the deep, the story would not have ended the way that it ended. It would have ended in the judgment of God. But instead, the storm and the whale was the mercy of God. It could have ended in the belly of the whale. It could have ended with the judgment of God. But because he cried out from the deep, God showed Jonah mercy. I want to tell you today, whatever's going in your life, whatever circumstances you're facing right now, maybe you find yourself in rebellion and you've run away from God. God is using this preacher today. It's no coincidence that you're tuned in today and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. God is using this situation. God is using this time to give you a choice. Will you be a person that cries out to God from the deep? Or will you be a person that says, no, no, God. No, I want to do my own thing. God, I want to keep going. Let me tell you, the circumstance you face right now can either be your judgment or it can be the mercy of God. And I'm thankful today for a God of second chances. I'm thankful for a God who repeats himself. Right now, let's just lift our hands. We thank you, Lord God, for second chances. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you repeat yourself to us. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for the account of Jonah, that you restored to him his ministry again. As he went back to Joppa, oh God, you said, go again and do what I called you to do. And Lord, I pray that you're speaking to somebody today. You're speaking and calling them, yes, to step out into the will of God again, to step out and walk in the ways of God. I pray that somebody under the sound of my voice today will repent of their sin and they will cry out to you from the deep. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I cry out to you today, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's sing it. Lord, I give. Lord, I give. Lord, I give you my heart. Come on, cry out to God right now. Find that place of repentance in the presence of God. Cry out to him from the deep. God is able. God is able to use those circumstances. God is able to use your situation right now. He has allowed it, so you turn to him. Lord, I give you my heart. And Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm I believe that we can cry out to God from the deep. We don't have to wait until we're delivered from our circumstances to cry out to God. We don't have to wait until we get perfect and get our lives straightened up to cry out to God. You can cry out to God wherever you are today. And I believe in the power of response. You see, I believe that something happens, and when we're in church, we respond by coming to the altar. Why? Because I believe that something happens when we make a move, when we take a step, when we respond. And so by moving out of our seats, if we're in church and coming to the altar, we're responding to God, and God can respond to us. You see, I believe we need to respond today. Whoever God is speaking to today, you need to respond. And I know you can't walk to the altar of this church, but right now maybe you need to lift your hands, and maybe you need to begin to vocalize and cry out to God. Cry out to God like you've never cried out to Him before. Maybe you need to respond today. Pick up the phone and call me. Call the pastor. Send a message to the church and say, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Can somebody help me? Can somebody pray with me? Can somebody pray a prayer of repentance with me? Can somebody talk to me how to get my life back and right with God? Can somebody baptize me in Jesus' name? Let me tell you, I believe in the power of response. So why don't you respond today? Don't just let the preaching of the word go into your ear and just to move on. But God is calling you to respond today. So hearken, yes, be a hearer, but God is calling you to be a doer. Why don't you find a way to respond to what God is speaking to you today? We're going to pray right now. I'll ask our musicians to continue to play. We're going to pray, and I want you to join me right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word that is powerful. We thank you, oh God, that you are a gracious and merciful God. We thank you, Lord, that we can cry out from the deep. Oh God, that you don't wait until we get our lives straightened out. That you don't wait till we get everything sorted out. But Lord, we can even cry out to you, as it were, from the belly of a great fish. In the deepest, darkest places, we can cry out to you. We thank you, Lord, that your word still works. We thank you that we have a chance to repent. We thank you, Lord, that you repeat yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of second chances. And Lord, I pray that somebody, I pray that backsliders will come back to you, to a work in our hearts, to a work in our families. Let us know your love. Let us know your restoration and your grace. We love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on, can we sing it, Lord? I give you my heart. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. Sing it. Come on, sing it. Yes, Lord. And Lord, I give you my heart. I live for you. From the deep. Amen. I pray that this word has ministered to you today. And more than that, I pray that you would respond. There's power in response. Find a way to respond to what God is speaking to you today. I encourage you to join us tonight at 6:00 on the same channel, same YouTube, same Facebook page. We're going to be having communion again. It's going to be a special night. We're going to change it up a little bit of a different format. But it's going to be a great night as we take communion. I encourage you to make preparations for that. Until then, church, God bless you. God be with you. God keep His hand of protection upon you. Amen. Have a lovely afternoon. Praise the Lord.